Thank you guys for hanging in to Wednesday. This is a huge privilege, and we actually have a few people. I knew I'd present to three other people because there are three other presenters, but it's kind of exciting to see what we've got. talking about autism screening in community child care settings, I work for Easter Seals, a large social service organization, and this is a project that we did with a few other people. My colleague Bob Siegel also works for Easter Seals. We're both educators by training. And then Jessica Foster and Georgina Peacock from Nationwide Children's Hospital and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are developmental and behavioral pediatricians, both of them. And it was just a really nice collaboration with those two fields represented in this work. I want to talk a little bit about autism screening and what we know right now, and then I'll launch into why we decided to do this pilot project. There's some strong AAP, American Academy of Pediatrics, recommendations around screening, and it says that we should be screening at 18 and 24 months as a part of the routine healthcare process. And this data is a little bit old, it's, you know, 2006, 2008, saying that only 8% of pediatricians are currently conducting formal screening. I suspect that number's a little bit better if we could go in and look at that data again, but that's the best data we have right now that says only 8% of pediatricians are currently conducting screening for autism. So definitely room for improvement in there. We also know that when a child is screened by their pediatrician and it's a positive screen and they recommend to go on for additional assessment through a more specialized healthcare provider or an early intervention system, there's a 32% non-compliance rate by those parents. So 32% of the parents choose not to go on immediately for an additional assessment when they've screened positives from their pediatrician. So just kind of the importance of looking at screening and doing a better job of seeing how we can screen was the mission for this work. There are approximately 8 million children under the age of 5 enrolled in the United States in kind of child care, if you will, and that's kind of an informal number that we can get from the census and things, but there's a lot of children that are enrolled in child care. And so we wanted to look at this screening issue, apply it to a child care setting, and gather some pilot data. I'm going to say that word pilot like really loud right now, so that'll save me during the question phases of, No. So it's a pilot. We really wanted to just kind of approach this and find out about the viability of using child care settings for autism screening. At the time we started the study, there wasn't any published information about doing this. There's recently been two publications from a couple of Flemish researchers looking at screening in child care settings, but we were just kind of launching into, as many of us do, hey, what'll happen if? And started this process to go through. We did have IRB support from Nationwide Children's, so, you know, protected our group, but we really were kind of forging ground here to see what would happen. We used 15 inclusive childcare centers. I want to say that all of these were Easter Seals. Easter Seals has 80 inclusive childcare centers across the country. They operate as if any other childcare center down the street where you and I might have our children attending, age birth to 5 typically. This is where the locations were. We had multiple locations in North Carolina and Illinois and Georgia. So there were 15 total, but this is where they were distributed across the country. And I use the term inclusive because the messaging is that these centers do accept all children. That's kind of our marketing message. So we have a reputation in communities of being accepting of children with disabilities, and that will have some consequence with the data that I share. So 15 inclusive childcare centers. The participants were the center directors. All of these centers are licensed childcare facilities. The center directors meet the NACE standards, National Association for Young and Early Childhood Education. So they're fairly well-trained individuals. We then were looking at, within the childcare center, all the children of English or Spanish-speaking parents aged 16 to 30 months. Those numbers were, those ages were selected because of the tool we chose for screening. And they had to have no previous diagnosis of a pervasive developmental disorder. So that overarching term, so if they had any autism spectrum disorder or pervasive developmental disorder, they were excluded from this pilot study. We had 223 eligible children within those 15 centers. You can see the distribution there. There were already 8 children diagnosed enrolled in those in the programs in those 15 centers. So we're already actually overrepresented by the data. So we have already had 8 children that were diagnosed. There were a range of 5 to 34 eligible children within each center. And I say that just to give a representation of some of the centers were quite small and some were quite large. So there wasn't, there's a, quite a range of some centers serve 60 to 70 children, and then between 16 and 30 months would be about 5 children. Some of our centers serve, you know, 250, 300 children. We'd have many more eligible children. Our procedures, we had 2 one-hour WebExes, and I chose this methodology. I was pretty clear that we might be able to train child care providers, early care and education professionals to do autism screening. If I brought them in and did a one-day-long training and, you know, trained them up, I know that would never be replicable. And as someone who works in a social service organization, I'm committed to replicability. And sometimes it's painful when I think, oh, that would so work. And then I think, oh, there's no way we can do that. There's no way we can afford that. So I'm pragmatic to my core, and so 1 hour training on the screening tools, what we provided. There was an additional 1 hour training, which you'd never have to do, just on research procedures. So I had fidelity measures and ability to, you know, get consent from the participants and things like that. That wouldn't need to be done if it wasn't a research protocol. But so that's what the center directors attended, 2 one-hour WebExes. The screening WebEx was done by Jessica and Georgina, which is great because we had these people who are very well trained in screening and identification as developmental behavioral pediatricians. So that was, you know, a wonderful opportunity to have them deliver that content. We then distributed the MCHAT. That's a modified checklist for autism in toddlers. It's a commonly used screening tool in autism. There was also about 3 permission forms, I think, stacked on top of that. And again, I'll talk a little bit about why that was important, but just trying to get informed consent from the families, which again, wouldn't need to be done if we were doing this. I think it also affected our return rate a little bit. We then distributed those to all the eligible, those 223 parents, and then collection. And then I conducted a kind of a social validity interview with a few of the center directors after the process was finished. Our return rate was 40% of those 223. There's the distribution from English and Spanish. The numbers are so low that we really can't talk a lot about other than just that's what they are. The gender distribution looks pretty typical. Those are, you know, these are somewhat typical of what you would see in our centers as well. Ethnicities represented, predominantly white, did have some representation from all the others. I didn't collect, because hindsight's 20/20, what the actual ethnicity distribution is in our center, so I can't reflect back and forth on that either. And then here's the positives that came out. So English and Spanish, I just split those for our use. So the Modified Checklist in Autism Toddlers, the MCHAT, has an initial parent report interview. So it's distributed to the parents, then it's collected and scored. And this is what came back as the positives. You then conduct an interview with the parent to reduce the false positive rates, and that's what we got post-interview that was still the positives. And then down below that are is a 6-month follow-up of what happened. The MCHAT's known for over-identifying, but having indicators for other developmental disabilities, so you can see that. So 6 English positive, 5 post-interview. Only 1 actually was discerned to have autism, was assessed and had autism, and 3 had another developmental disability. 1 we could not follow. Post-interview for Spanish, 4, autism, 2, waiting 2, which is 6 months post-positive screen. When we looked at that, it was looking for people who have skills in bilingual diagnostics. And then I just want to note, this is an outrageously high positive. Which again, I can't, the numbers are too low to look at anything like sensitivity or specificity. I can say again, Easter Seals is just known for a 0 exclusion in our child care centers. So I suspect we were getting some individuals who may have had some challenges in other child care centers. We always do. So they may have been exhibiting some behavioral challenges, communication challenges, and they landed with us, and then they participated in this project. And again, this is a pilot, so that's definitely a huge limitation of this, is that it was done within an Easter Seals setting. The positives, I was really curious, again, that 32% non-compliance rate, I was really curious what might what it looked like for us. I had this feeling, I guess you'd say. So I think about a child who goes in for a well baby checkup at their pediatrician at 18 months, and then if your child's healthy, they don't necessarily see their pediatrician again for several months. And so I think about that, what that means for families who might be have, you know, difficulty understanding or a lot of fear, of course. Whereas in an early care and education, in a child care setting, you know, your child screens positive on Wednesday, and where are you Thursday morning? Dropping your child off again. And where are you Friday morning? Dropping off your child care again, child again. So you have a relationship with those individuals that looks different than with a pediatrician. So I was curious, and this is indeed what happened, post-interview, those positives. Four were actually enrolled and participating in early intervention, Part C. Three had received follow-up from their healthcare provider. Again, one we could not follow. And EI and health, or Spanish-speaking, all four were had been seen by early intervention and were had been seen by the healthcare provider. So our follow-up rate was fantastic, and I was really pleased to see that. Conducted four interviews, randomly selected four of the 15 center directors and asked things like who should be providing screening and are you qualified to provide screening and why or why not, why were those screenings returned or not. They felt, all of the these directors, center directors, said that they felt that pediatricians should be providing screening, but that they were also qualified to be providing screening. They said that they, as center directors, felt confident in implementing this this process, but they didn't think that their staff would be successful at doing that. So they said, I'm not really sure about my line staff or my teachers, but I feel like I could do this, and they were the ones who led this project. They felt that they were perfectly capable of doing that. There was lots of conversation about why or why not the return. Parents returned. They said, you know what, we have a heck of a time getting any pieces of paper back from families, so this is no different. Some people said parents were really clear that this just wasn't an issue with them. Their child wasn't in need of screening, so they just didn't complete it. But there was lots of opinions about why parents did or didn't return. Just to end a little bit, screening promotes early detection, and in autism spectrum disorders, it's really clear early detection leads to early intervention, which leads to better outcomes. So, you know, we know that the age of diagnosis is much too late right now here in the United States, and we have a kind of social responsibility to see what we can do to impact that, and I think screening would be a great place to start. There's room for improvement. With working with Georgina and Jessica on this, Bob and I were, you know, it's not either or. It's not screening in pediatricians or screening in the childcare setting. It's let's just screen and, you know, make sure that we can find the kids who are in need of help and move forward on that. Let's see how we can all support each other. There's certainly issues with our healthcare system, like preaching to the choir here. So let's, you know, see how we can support each other to make sure that all children are screened. Childcare environments may be another setting where screening can occur, and it may be a possibility for us to think about that. Future research, and clearly this was a pilot project, there's no way we can get sensitivity or specificity from this study. I'd love to see it. This was something that Easter Seals kind of decided to do and worked with some collaborative partners, but I'm excited. I would love to see this done at a true level. Where that could be assessed. I think it's a really exciting opportunity. I think we got some early data that says that childcare providers would be interested in doing this, really interested in what affects return rates. 90 out of 223 actually isn't that bad for this, but I'd certainly like to see it higher. And then what are the parental perspectives of screening in childcare settings? So, you know, are we overstepping our boundaries by engaging in this process in a childcare setting? So looking at, we didn't ask parents anything at all from this perspective. So I thank you guys for allowing me to talk about this pilot project. I am incredibly motivated to improve our screening practice here in the United States. I think this might be an opportunity for us to assess another environment where we could conduct screening. Thank you.